For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Friday. That's right. What do you think, Rudy? Look good, huh? I'm just saying, all right. I want to be right there, right now, drinking coffee with you guys. But I wanted to look as cool as John Ranger with a cap on, and then my boy Rudy, man, he hooked me up with the world's best team, so now I'm going to have to preach better tonight. I'm going to have to preach better tonight after that. Okay, there for all you Raider lovers, I was going to put it right there. You know, it's funny, man, being from Dallas, like, everybody knows the Cowboys, so that everybody has an opinion about the Cowboys. I'm not saying you have to have the right opinion, but you could have your own opinion. I'm just kidding, man. Football brings people together, doesn't it? Sports has a way of bringing people together. I'm a Lakers fan, so that's all right, right? So I get lots of trouble for that back in Dallas. So, anyways, hope you guys are ready to have church tonight, okay? Because we're gonna have church. We fit to have church up in here tonight, so I hope you're ready. So, you know, because if we don't have church to the level where Jesus visits us, where we have life change, whether it's like, you know, just slow and methodical or, you know, like a punch in the face, whatever it is, there needs to be life change at some level. Or why are we here instead? My boy's with me right here. So why are we here? Because of life change. If we come here and we don't have life change, I might as well be at Chili's right now. Right? I mean, because I can hang out with people at Chili's, we can drink coffee or whatever, but man, I'm here because I want life change, all right? I want life change. I want Jesus. I want to pray again. I know we're all prayed up, man. Some of you guys literally pray three times a day because you pray over your meals, but I'm going to pray one more time. See, some of you guys got that as a joke. Internet audience, love you guys. Love you, man. We have some great facilitators right now on our Facebook page, and you go, you're awesome. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray for you. If you're watching us right now, I feel like God wants to do something in our internet audience. I'm not sure. Maybe when I start praying, something will happen. But I want you guys to pray, and I want you to get this tonight. I want you to say, God, here's what I need. Let's just pray this. Father God, you know the needs in this place. Lord, you have brought people here tonight just because you want to meet their need. You want to show off. In fact, I feel like that's the word of the internet audience. God wants to show off to you tonight. Whatever your need is, might be something crazy, but I feel like God wants to show off to you tonight. So when that happens, man, email us, would you, and let us know. And everybody that's here, God wants to do something in your life. If we claim to serve a living and active God, we should change tonight. Because the Spirit of the living God is in this place. He's in our hearts. And Father, at the end of the day, we want to win Jesus. We want to walk with you. We want to know you. We want your word to impact our hearts. We want to be different than when we came in today, because we're going to leave having been touched by the word of God. And everybody who believes that wants a piece? Amen. 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 I'm telling you what, man. I don't mess around. When it comes to church, man, I like to goof off, right? If we're going to go to your house and, like, you know, play Twister or something, it's going to be cool, all right? We'll have fun. Because I like to have fun. But, man, when we come to church, I just say, dear Jesus, move, right? That's why we're here. I didn't just come here to take a nap, man. I didn't come here just to, like, you know, show off my new kicks or whatever it might be. I came to see Jesus move in our lives. So let's do this. Let's do this. So I'm going to be with you guys five times in the next couple months, all right? So if you're going to walk out now or you're not going to be coming back, I'm on you, all right? We have our ushers. They're trained to tackle you if you leave. But man, do this. Hey, the Word of God is living and active, and some people on your street need to have the living and active Word of God in them. And so you need to do what you got to do to get them here, all right? This Sunday is Back to Church Sunday, and every Wednesday thereafter and every Sunday thereafter, I'm just declaring it all, get your neighbor to church Sunday and Wednesday, okay? I just made that up right now. But man, why do we can't hide this stuff? right? We cannot hide this. So we can't bottle it up. We can't keep it hidden. We've got to bring life to our friends and family by getting them here, okay? Or you can take it with them too, but I'm just saying, you can bring them here too, because, you know, a lot of people don't come to church because they don't get asked. You guys saw the video too. All right. So anyways, we're going to do a study in the book of Ephesians. We're going to go through a certain amount of verses. I may or may not have titles of every message, but the whole overall of Ephesians, we're going to call this, Just Who Do You Think You Are? And tonight happens to be Just Who Do You Think You Are? Part one, all right? Para mi hermanos out there, part uno, okay? I'm just saying, all right. I'm very fluent in Spanglish, okay? I'm mean, man. I know all the Spanglish words. All right, so I have to say that. And then I want to start it off by just saying, I always like to work from the back forward when I preach. Here's what I perceive God wanting to do tonight. I perceive Him wanting to have our prayer counselors pray for you. He can touch you in your seats. He can reach you where you're at, okay? So there's tonight, I mean, anything goes. But I believe God wants to deal with some of you about a couple things. I believe, and I need you to listen. Please listen to me, because you're going to find places to grab hold of this throughout the message. God wants some of you to know how freaking special you are. And I say that, and forgive me if that offends you, but I needed to say that with emphasis, because there's some people here tonight that don't think you're special. And you think you're kind of special because God did something and you heard some verses or whatever, but God wants you to know that you're so freaking special and loved by Him that He knew about you from the beginning of the universe. When He was speaking things into existence, He knew your name. And somebody needs to know that tonight. Somebody needs to know that a night to the point where you forgive yourself. I'm talking about stupid stuff you done yesterday, maybe. Because God forgave you. And when Jesus took your sin, stupidity, sickness, selfishness on His back and died with it, it was dead, gone, buried, no mas, nada, it's gone, man. And it is so gone that you don't even have to ask forgiveness again. Once you've done that and once you ask for forgiveness, you're going to say, God, but forgive me of that thing that I think you already forgave me of. He's going to go, what? Because I already forgave you of it. Amen. So don't let the enemy come against you with guilt and shame, which is the second thing that we need to deal with tonight. Some of you are wallowing around here with guilt and shame all over you, and shame on you, because you should not be that way. You are forgiven. And some of you guys are having a hard time forgiving yourself, even though Jesus has already forgiven you, because you listen to the lies of the enemy. And the enemy says, but what about that sin? And you go, oh yeah, that was pretty bad. And Jesus is going, but I forgave you of it. But all we hear is the enemy go, yeah, that was bad, man. You shouldn't have done that. Bad person, you. You need to throw it back at the devil. Go, no, man. I'm forgiven once and for all. I am clean. I'm born again. I'm justified. I'm Jesus, man. I'm a child of God. By you not forgiving yourself, I'm talking to a couple gentlemen right now. By you not forgiving yourself, man, your sins are bad, man. They're horrible. You want to have a spitting contest? I've done some bad things in my life, too. And it's hard to forgive yourself. But gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this. You need to forgive yourself, because when you don't forgive yourself, you're basically telling Jesus that His death was not enough. Somebody gave me a right now, because that's a hard word. Right? That's a hard word. Because we think, if I'm a little tougher on myself, that means I'm going to get a little bit more forgiven. No, it doesn't, man. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid the price. You got to get over yourself, because at the end of the day, that's arrogance. All right? Some of you have been hurt bad. Some of you have been abused by people that should be loving you, and they have hurt you. You have had negative things said about you. You have been called names that are horrible. And I'm gonna tell you what, that's lies, every one of it, man. God wants you to know that you are special. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Having said all that, I wanna tell you about a friend of mine. He's in ministry. He does a campus ministry, and he has a son that is in the armed forces, and his son has one of the coolest jobs ever. He drives the Osprey, right? He flies the Osprey, I should say. You guys know what the Osprey is? It's that airplane that's kind of like helicopter and airplane. So you like, he gets inside it, man, and just goes, it kind of lifts up like that, like a helicopter, and then it just goes, and it takes off like an airplane. You know, like most airplanes are like, and this thing is like, it's awesome, right? And he drives this like, you know, 8 bajillion million trillion dollar piece of equipment. It's amazing. And I'm so jealous of this guy. It's like, oh, that's like, you know, you're like living in the movies. And he does it every day. He drives people all over, whatever. But I started thinking, like, wouldn't that be funny if he comes to one of his jobs and he's like, man, here's this, like, the most expensive piece of equipment ever. All this power can go up like a helicopter, fly like a plane, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And he get, and he gets ready to get in and he goes, where'd I put those keys? Would that be crazy? What if you showed up for a flight and the pilot's like, yeah, we're going to be taking off here in just a little bit. Ah, crud. Where'd I put those keys to the plane? I don't even know if airplanes have keys, but I'm just saying there would be something ironic about that, right? What if you were magical? What if you had supernatural power in you and you didn't know it? And you never went, oh, I'm going to touch this clock right here and it's going to turn to pure gold. And I'm going to start giving it out to the poor. Psh, whoo, psh, you shake people's hand, they turn gold. They're like, I don't care, man, it's a gold hand. I'm going to cut it off and sell. But that's how we are. And that's one of the things that Paul addresses here in the epistle to the Ephesians, is that we have power, but the enemy doesn't want you to know it. We have authority, but he wants to lie to you. You have forgiveness, and he wants to guilt and shame you. I need you guys to clean out your ears tonight, because I'm telling you, some of you are going to be set free. We read the Bible, but we don't really let it impact our hearts. We hear scripture, we go to church, we memorize verses, but we don't really believe it. We don't get it up inside of us. And tonight, I'm begging you guys, please get the Word of God, not just slathered all over you, but get it up inside of you, because God wants to set you free tonight. You're going to be set free from this, all right? I hope you're ready. That was all part of a disclaimer, believe it or not. But I want you to know that you are special, blessed, you're called, you're forgiven. And if you have your Bibles, we are actually going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace. Say grace and peace. Grace and peace to you. Somebody needs peace here tonight. Somebody is running themselves ragged. And you're doing all good things, man. You're probably not in sin, but you run way too much. You drive way too fast. You go way too long. And God cannot squeeze himself into your life. And you need peace. You need, and I'm going to pray for you right now. Sister, receive God's peace tonight. The peace that passes understanding. The peace of God that brings confidence in the pause, that brings breath in the wait, that dismantles schedules. God, let us follow that peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Get that peace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, get this, every spiritual blessing. Saints of God, are you hearing this? God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Let me say it again. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You do not have to pray, dear God, bless me. You know why? Somebody tell me. You're already blessed. You don't have to say, oh God, please just bless me. You got to go, God, give me some more of that blessing. What are you blessing, God? Because I need to go there and get some more of it. He has already blessed you with physical and spiritual blessings. We don't act like it. It's like you got the keys to the Osprey, right? You got the driver's license to the Osprey, and you're going, well, I don't know. I just wish I could drive it. You got the keys. I always wanted to go, you know, get out of California. Didn't drive. And I always wanted to go to Europe. You got gas. Let's read on. Listen to this, saints. Just as he chose us, that's you, that's me. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. There wasn't even a platypus made yet, and you were on God's mind. There wasn't an animal, an apple. There wasn't a star in the sky, but there was a twinkle in God's eye for you, sir. God had his eye on you before the world was created. Is somebody getting excited yet? If you're not, come up here and let me slap you because you ain't got no feeling. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be, somebody with me? Holy, and what else? Blameless before him. See, the key here is, we kind of just glanced over, go back and sweep it up a little bit, but verse 4, just as he chose us in him, see, God sees us inside of Jesus, because that's the only way you're going to get seen, right? Because we know we're dirty, ding-dong sinners. We can't have God look at us. We can't stand before a pure and holy, righteous God. We'll wilt away. We'll melt. But when we are in Christ Jesus, that's all that God sees. He sees, it's like, I'm seeing Jesus like, you know, this big, like transparent, you know, love thing. And we're all inside of him. And God's like, oh, I see Jesus. I see all you cats in there. Yeah, good job. You get it in him. All right, man. I ain't even started to preach yet. Verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons, and I would say, and daughters too, through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind of intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us, the beloved. You are loved of God. I'm telling you, there's some things you are going to have to write down. Even if you take out your phone and you have to write down a couple of things, please be note takers, okay? From now on, man, your task, man, you can't remember everything that God's going to tell you, right? So don't pretend like I'm going to memorize that whole message, Pastor. You ain't, nah. Mm-mm. All right? So if you want to be used of God, take some notes, right? I love it when you guys take notes. Somebody hold up your notepad. I'm clapping for you guys. You want to get it. You want to be used by God. I love it. I love it. And you guys really want to be used by God, you caffeinated folk, right? So you're getting that message, man. You could write twice as fast as anybody else. I want to read you this, man. It talks about how stingy sometimes we get. We are King's kids, are we not? What's another way of saying you are a son of the king? Somebody tell me that word is. What's that word? What is it? Royalty? Yes, specifically a man that is the king's son. Prince. Somebody tell me specifically what is a daughter of the king? Princess. Let's just call it like it is. Ladies and gentlemen, you are royalty. You are princes and princesses in this place if God is your father and he is the king. Right? Either he is or he isn't. Either it's true or it's not. You are a prince or you are not. And I'm going to tell you what, you are. Princess. Ladies, you need to get up in the morning before no one else, man. If you're having like self-identity, man, I know, guys, ladies, we all struggle with this. If you are struggling with this, you need to get up in the morning, lock the bathroom door, turn the light on and go, you a prince. You got a bald head, you got a big nose, but you are a prince. God has made you how he wants you to be with that bald head and that big nose, but you are a prince. That was my internal monologue. I was like giving you a prince. You're royalty, you're a prince. And we need to act like it. We need to act like it. We need to help others that don't yet realize their royalty. Today I was coming out here and I sat next to this lady and I was getting ready to jump on the plane and I'm just I'm trying to like spread the love everywhere I go, right? Sometimes I'm crazy, I'm trying to get crazier. So I sat next to this lady, she fell asleep, dropped her phone. I picked up her phone, I go, here you go. I go, how you doing, what's going on? She's like, man, I've been here all day, I'm trying to catch this standby. I don't know, if I don't go to LA, I'm gonna lose all this money and I'm doing this and I can't do this. And you know, I missed my flight this morning and blah, blah, blah. I said, without even thinking about it, I go, you know what? We're just gonna pray that you get on this flight right now. Didn't ask her anything. I just said, Jesus, in your name right now, I pray that my girl would get on this flight, open it up. Just, you do it, God, right now. Just get her on this next flight. And it just kind of popped out of me. I'm like, whoa, where'd that come from? Okay, cool. Nothing, you know, no harm, no foul. So I said, all right. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, now God, I'm getting nervous because I called you out. And I said, is it a full flight? She goes, yeah, it's oversold. Five extra people are waiting in line. I'm like, so I said, we prayed it, right? God's gonna come. She's, yeah, yeah. She goes, my mom prayed. She goes, I'm not really that, you know, churchy right now, but my mom said that, you know, something was gonna happen too. And I go, somebody else is calling her out. But I'm getting nervous, okay? I gotta be honest. Because I don't need to excuse God, right? If God wants her on that plane, he's gonna do it. And if he does it, she's not gonna get on there. But I kind of outed him and I said, God, you got to put her on the plane, right? So I'm thinking to myself, like, if this girl doesn't get on the plane, she'd be like, I hate God, see ya. I don't know, I'm just being honest, right? So I'm like, oh God, what do we do? And I said, well, you know, I said, you know, there's other planes that maybe go to LA. She goes, I've got no money. She goes, I can get guaranteed standby for $35. But she goes, I got no money. She goes, I got no money. I go, I'll tell you what. I go, why don't we just be an answer to our own prayer right now? I don't know if I'm lacking faith or not. Feel free to comment, feel free. I got out my credit card and homegirl got on the plane. That's all I'm saying. I'm serious, I'm not really trying to talk myself into saying this was the best thing, right? I'm not saying, I may have a lack of faith, I don't know. But have you ever been that place where you go, I can pray and I can hold it down, or I could be the answer to my own prayer, right? Have you ever driven by the person on the sidewalk, God just bless them, and he's like, you go take your Big Mac out and you go bless them. Right? And so that was my moment with homegirl, and I said, you know, we're going to be an answer to our own prayer right now. I mean, literally, the plane was like up. People were walking off, and her and I are on the phone. She's like, yeah, I need to get on the plane. This guy's going to pay for it. And I'm like, hey, I'm paying for $35 only, okay? So she's not going to Bahamas. She's not going to Hawaii. $35. We'll know in 30 days. Be blessed, sister. Be blessed. If you're sitting on the beach of Maui right now, be blessed. It's only going to cost $35. Okay, sorry, anyway. But I just said, hey, man, if I'm going to act like a prince, I got to take care of my people. Right? God has blessed me. I got to bless others. We got to pay it forward. I heard a story. She had gone down in history as America's greatest miser. Yet when she died in 1916, Hetty Green left an estate valued over $100 million. In 1916 money, that's like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. She ate cold oatmeal in the morning because it cost money to heat it. Her son had suffered a leg amputation because she delayed so long in looking for a free clinic that his case became incurable. She was wealthy, yet she chose to live like a pauper. This is a princess living like a pauper. This is the guy that has the ability to drive the Osprey and he don't know where the keys are. Eccentric, certainly. Crazy, perhaps, but nobody could prove it. She was so foolish that she hastened her own death by bringing herself to a heart attack while arguing about the value of drinking skimmed milk. But Hetty Green is an illustration of too many Christian believers today. They have limitless resources from God at their disposal, yet they live like paupers and not princes and princesses. This was the kind of Christian that Paul wrote to the epistle of the Ephesians. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking that the minute we say, dear Jesus, come into my life, in Jesus' name, forgive me of all my sins, and then we reach in our pocket and we got Mercedes-Benz keys. I'm not talking that, okay? But I am talking that you guys need to rearrange your thinking. You need to think differently, because if you really are a son of the Most High God, the God that has no lack of resource, the God that has no lack of finance, the God that has no lack of healing, the God that has no lack of anything, and we really are his offspring, his heir, we need to start acting like it. Amen. Yes. I'm telling you, I feel like I could just stay here all night, because we need to stay here until we get it. It's like the pastor trying out for a church, and he went and the church was packed. First message, they said, we're going to try you out, pastor, and see if we like your message and see if you preach well. If you do good, we're going to have you be our full-time pastor. So he gets up, he preaches the best message ever on John 3:16. They said, pastor, you got to come back and preach again next week. He goes, all right. He comes back next week and he preaches the exact same message on John 3:16. And people are like, is that weird? Maybe he has dementia. I don't know. But he preached the exact same message last week. Okay, it was good. So, okay, yeah, good. Pastor, will you come back next week and preach a message? Hopefully a different one. So he came back week three. He preached the same message in John 3:16. The head elder came to him and he said, pastor, we love your preaching. We really loved it the first week. We liked it the second week, but this is the third week in a row you've preached the same message on John 3:16. When are you going to change your message? He said, as soon as you guys start living it. Raise your right hand. Come on, raise your right hand. I am a prince or princess. You could say both, or you could just say one or the other. Hey, man, you could identify with whatever you want these days. I am a prince. You are a princess. You are a prince. You need to get that in your heart, in your head. You are royalty. You are a child of God. If you're struggling with that, struggle no more. You either believe it or you don't. You either forgive yourself or you don't. You either mean business with Jesus or you don't. And if you are having trouble, we have some great prayer counselors that are going to come up here in just a little bit, and they will pray you through it, man. And you just made me need to confess it first. Maybe you don't feel like it. Psh, who cares about feelings? Right? Feelings are overrated. Right? It's a great thing to have them. I feel happy. Good. Why? I don't know. I just do. But it's a great thing when you know something. And here's what you should know. Ladies, you are princesses of the Most High God. Don't let the world put you in its mold. Don't let the world tell you you could be a not a princess. Don't let the world tell you that you are not a princess. Don't let the world tell you that you could someday be a princess. You are now. You are now. Men of God, you are princes. You are children of the King. You need to start acting like it. You need to take care of your princesses. You need to handle your business and take care of your families. You need to man up and do what you got to do. Some of you guys might need to go home and do the most princely thing you can do. Take out the garbage. I'm still ready to get preaching. I ain't done nothing yet. It's almost time to wrap up. So how are you doing? Paul, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul went from worst to first. Paul fell down under the power of God, only to be lifted up in his humility by that same power of God. Where are you? What is God's will for your life? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. What is the will of God in your life? And if you know what it is and you're not running to it full-heartedly, why not? I'm telling you what, some of you guys know what God's will for your life is and you're going the other way. You're like Jonah. You're like, God, you say go right. I'm going left. It's because you don't trust God. You know God, but you don't trust him. I'm telling you what, you need to trust. what God knows is best for your life. Maybe I should remind you, all right, we can clap on that one. Maybe I need to remind you why you gave your life to Christ the first time. It's because you jacked your life up. You couldn't do no better, right? You knew you were a ding-dong. And you came to Jesus and you gave him this broken, jacked up heart. You're like, God, it's broken in a million pieces. I don't even know where half of it is, God, but will you take it and make it new? He's like, heck yeah, man. I love broken hearts. I love broken things. Man, you're a gangster, man. You were a drug dealer, man. You were nothing. You messed your life up. But you gave your heart to God. You gave the little tiny little bit. You go, God, I got nothing, but will you take it? He's like, I'll take it, man. Watch it. Ah, boom. You got a brand new stuff, man. Yeah. And so if the enemy can resist us to that point, like, you know, once we just go, no, man, by the blood of Jesus, by the power in Jesus' name, I'm saved, okay? He can't hold that back. But if he has to acquiesce to that, then he starts lying to you and says, but you ain't no good, though. You hear what I'm saying? We've got to hear what God says about you. You are special. You are appointed since the beginning of time. You, by the will of God, are here today hearing this. What is God's calling on your life? Embrace it. If you know what it is, go there quicker. Because if most people in their life and their spiritual walk, they go from point A to point B to point C, praise God, that's awesome. But what if you could go from point A to point B to point C to point D to point E and maybe even to point F? Would that be amazing? What's after F? Is it G? Is it F1, F2? I don't know. Get there and tell me, would you? If you know what God's will is for your life, get there. If you don't know what God's will is for your life, or you forgot, which can happen. Lots of Christians suffer from selective amnesia. It's a very serious spiritual condition. It's like when you got teenagers, selective hearing, right? Pray and come up and pray with some of our prayer counselors that God would clean out the spiritual earwax and either remind you of what you were called to do or to tell you the first place what you're called to do. Either way, you leave here tonight and you go out these doors and you get to your calling. All right? All right? Get on it. Get on it. You need to embrace the fact that you are a child of God. You need to embrace the fact that you are forgiven and you need to forgive yourself. You need to embrace the fact that God saves you for a purpose. Say, I'm saved for a purpose. Are you sure? Yes. Yes, you are. You are saved for a purpose. It's one thing to be born. It's another thing to be born again. But it's a whole nother thing to find out what you were born and born again for. Hello. Hey, that's a good thing right there, right? Darren Tripp, you ever doubt? You ever doubt what your calling is? Nah, man. Every time I see this guy, his eyes, his mouth, his smile, his countenance, the way he walks, the way he carries himself, that man is a prince and he knows it. That man is on a mission from God and he knows it. Man, everybody has a calling. God calls you when he saves you. God called you from the beginning of time. You need to find out what you are called for. Now, some of you guys, you already figure your call. You're like, I guess I'm just a school teacher. Just a school teacher? Are you kidding me? You get third graders, 30 of them at a time. And by your actions and by the way you carry yourself as a child of God, you don't even have to say in Jesus' name to these kids. You know what? You may not even be able to legally, but you know what? You can let the love of Jesus show you, right? You can let the love of Jesus flow through you, right? St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. Man, our walk, our actions, our smile, our hug, our love, man, they speak volumes of who we are. I got to be honest, man. You guys have heard, if you've been to Valley Bible over a couple years, you have heard this brother confess many times on many occasions that I do not drive how Jesus would drive, okay? I drive like the devil. I used to. But I'm going to tell you what, and I'm being honest, and if I'm lying, I'm frying. I may mess up occasionally, but you know what? I drive like a Christian now. I do, man. It takes time. I got to leave early. I got to push my seat back a little bit more so I'm getting my chill on a little bit, because normally I'd be like this. I'm sitting back now. I take off talk radio. I can listen to a little sports radio every once in a while. I can't listen to no fast music. I gotta listen to like birds chirping and waterfalls. But I'm driving like Jesus wants me to drive now. And I like it. And it feels good. I don't know if that's my calling. I used to think it was to drive people crazy. Now it's just to drive like Jesus would. We all can improve. We all can improve. We all can, whether we're a teacher, a driver, a construction worker, a dairy worker, a lawyer, a businessman, whatever. You can let the love of Jesus speak volumes without you saying a word. Amen. If we say we serve the living God, don't we need to be different than everybody else? Don't we need to act different than anybody else? I am a servant of the Most High God, and I drive like the devil, and I talk like a sailor, and I eat like a slob, and my house is a mess, but I serve a living Savior. You hear what I'm saying? Some of you need to go serve Jesus with a broom in your car when you get home. All right? Because I'm going to look at your car and go, great man of God, woman of God, they live in hell. Man, you know why? Because listen, if you're royalty, your castle shouldn't be all messy. What kind of a king is that? You're the king of filth. I'm being funny about it, but you don't know. I'm stepping on your toes and you're laughing. You better get home and get to cleaning. And you're still laughing. I ain't playing no more. Some of you guys are slops. And it ain't to God's glory, and it ain't to your glory. We're going to move on, okay? Can we do that? You're like, amen, preacher. Move it. All right, let me just go through one more. Man, can I go through this? I ain't able to go through this. I can't. We did half a verse. So here's the deal. We need to be different, folks. We need to show off. We need to let God show off through us. And if we're walking around and not expecting it, and if we're not living like princes and princesses, we're not living like children of God, we're not representing God well. Whenever my kids go out, I tell them this. I go, buddy, remember, you're a Jones. My daughter's almost 17 now, and I still tell her, baby, remember, you're a Jones. She's never asked me what that means. And if she ever did, I would go, I don't know. I mean, it means literally everything. I want her to go when she's like thinking about, do I need to do something for this person on the side of the road? I'm a Jones. Yeah, I do. But if I tell her one thing it means, she's going to like think it means one thing only. I want her to think it means like a million things. Is that parent cruelty? I don't think it is. I just want her to know, you're Jones. Why'd you do that? You're Jones. Why didn't you do that? You're Jones. Why did you do that? You're a child of God. Why didn't you do that? You're a child of God. It's a new standard. You need to live like a child of God. You need to live like a prince and princess. You need to live like royalty. You need to live like a call of God is on your life. And that means everything from the way you drive, the way you clean, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you brush your teeth, man. I'm telling you, it means everything. It really does. It really does. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to end tonight. And I told you, and I'm telling you, man, I love our prayer people. Brother Tony and your team, man, you guys, you're awesome. And I know that I can lead us to a place down here at the altar where you will be taken care of by godly men and women that know their identity in Christ. And so I'm going to ask, if you'd bow your head and close your eyes, I'm going to lead you to a couple of things. And prayer team, if you'd come down, man, we need to talk like royalty. We need to dress like royalty. I'm not talking about wearing robes and crowns. I'm talking about the way we dress, modesty, the way we smile, the way we are patient with each other. Holy Spirit of God, as you move up and down these aisles, God, I know that you've talked to me.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our